the 35th book of the Bible, the book of Habakkuk. Many of you know the story of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. This is the 35th book of the Bible, 1,475 words, 56 verses, 3 chapters. Wrote in 7th century B.C. Maybe a couple of you will remember that, and when it was wrote. But the book of Habakkuk asked a question. And he asked the Lord a question. And we ask the Lord questions too. If you look at the book of Habakkuk, there's a lot of similarities to the book of Psalms, especially Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph. He asked the question, you know, why, Lord, is the wicked unpunished? And man, we ponder this in our mind a lot. We go to church, we give what's right, we try our best of our ability to live what's right, to do what's right, to watch what's right, to say what's right, to think what's right, to walk what's right, to dress what's right. We try to do these things, and sometimes we just meet with opposition because we've tried our very best to do what God would have us to do, and we see those that are wicked that are doing exactly what God had them not to do, and it seems like they're doing better than we are. And Habakkuk asked this question. Please look with me in the Word of God. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even crying to thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou shew me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are they that raise up strife and contention. Amen. I believe that he had been in the Baptist church. Therefore the law is slacked. The judgment doth never go forth. This is what he's saying to the Lord. For the wicked doth compass me about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And that's the way, child of God, that it looks like today. It looks as if this world is going haywire, and it is. And it looks like that God doesn't have any control. But I got news for you. The Lord Jesus is in control. He's still on the throne. He's still God. And He's still able to give us revival, to save our children, and to bless our homes and bless our church. And He's still able to do a work in our life. And then He says here, the Lord answers, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days that you will not believe, though it be told you. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd give us the wisdom to preach in the Spirit of God. I thank you, Lord, for this dear church and the genuineness of the Spirit of God. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Let's take a look at that statement tonight. And let's analyze that and let's see what kind of work that God can do in your life. Hey, I want to tell you something. God's not looking for your mind to be wise. Amen. He's not looking for your character to use that. Amen. He's not looking for your ability, your public speaking. He's not looking for all that. God is looking for some young men, some young women, some old men, some old women to live for God, to serve God, to pay the price, to count the cost, and say, come, whatever may, I'm going to live for God, though this is a wicked world, though He slay me, I will serve Him. Though I have good days, I will serve Him. Though I have bad days, I will serve Him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the kind of people that God uses. If you can only be used of God when you're on a mountain, you ain't going to last long in church. Hey, I've had many of them come to the church. Recently we had somebody, they come in, they couldn't quit testifying. Hey, they enjoyed it. I said, Brother Reckley, they'll join the church. I've not seen them since, amen. But I'm going to tell you, if you can only serve God on the mountain, you'll not get very far with Him. Hey, you've got to learn to serve Him in the dry valley. Okay, when it's dry, it's tough. Young people, you listen to me tonight. Hey, I know what it is to be young and filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, I know what it is to pray and see God move. Hey, I remember one time, me and this lady, we was in a courtship, and she told me, she said, "Would you just take some time and pray with me? I can feel God when you pray." Hey, I remember going on a date and having that kind of relationship. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, but dark days came my way. I remember one time my dad's old blue couch. I remember going through a hard time and I got down. I'll just pray through this thing. Brother Rackley, I prayed and cried, tears, sweat, everything else. And man, I didn't seem like the Lord heard me. And I went back and the situation was still there. I remember going through a problem there where I work at. Man, every day I just seemed like I'd beat the devil. Man, he'd beat me all day long. He'd kick me and I just seemed like, man, I can't make it. I'd just get up every morning, read Psalm 108, and I'd just keep on rolling. I'd just get my mind on Jesus and say, it'll get better after a while. Hey, God will see me through this because He's going to work a work in your life. If you'll let Him. Let's look at some people in the Word of God that's had that work taken place. These people wasn't people that were high in stature. They weren't wise people. If you look in Mark chapter number 5, the man that the Lord came to, Jesus went 26 miles out of His way. He went 13 miles on water and He went over to a place to meet a crazy man. You're talking about a visitation, Brother Rackley. Could you imagine saying somebody getting in your vehicle a Saturday morning soul winning visitation and saying, "Hey, we're going to see a man. He's a little rough fella. He'll be naked. He'll be cutting himself. And I'll tell you what, he's the scariest thing you ever seen. But we're going to win him to the Lord today." Hey, I'm going to tell you, God looks at things a whole lot different than we do. We only look at statue. We only look what they can gain us. Hey, I'm going to tell you, young person, you need to learn to love people just for who they are and love them and care for them. If they're lost, you pray for them. You tell them about the darling Lamb of God and you pray and see God's face and they'll see God in your life and they'll have a desire one day to be saved. Hey, I'll tell you, I've lived with some people. I've worked with some people, I should say. I'm telling you, that were wicked. I'd talk to them about God. They said, all religion is about money. And I'd talk to them and try to explain things. I'd beat myself up. I'd try this and try that. And one day I just frustrated. I said, "Well, I just won't witness to them no more." And it wasn't just a little while. They come to me and had a prayer request. "Hey, you keep beating that rock. Hey, you keep standing for what's right. You keep just listening to what the Word of God says, applying it to your life. Hey, and one day it'll show." Amen. He said, "I'll work a work in your days." No man believed. Now listen to this. This man of Gadara, he'd cut himself. I could imagine he was covered. He may have had a little tattoo here or there. I don't know. But he was covered, head to toe, been cutting himself. They had tried. Everybody tried. They put chains on him. They tried to help him. Hey, this world tries to help everybody. He gives them all this stuff to sedate their mind. They give them all this stuff to take them into another world. Hey, I was working the other day. I was talking to a fella. And I went out there. His eyes was as red as his shirt. And I'm telling you, he looked rough. I said, "When you coming back to Tennessee, partner? Hey, you've got some issues. Hey, people need to learn to deal with life. And we deal with it through the Word of God. Hey, I'm not turning to a white coat to get me out of this. I'm not letting no doctor pump my mind full of drugs because I can't deal with life. I'll tell you where I'll turn to. I'll turn to that 1611 King James Bible. I'll open that book because He's magnified His Word higher than His name. And I'll magnify that Word and God will see me through." He's going to work a work in your days if you'll obey. This crazy man, Jesus come to him. The Son of God stepped out on that boat and I'm going to tell you what happened. That crazy man got saved. And he was going to follow Jesus. And Jesus, this is the first publishing ministry in the Bible. He went home and he published that throughout the Decapolis and told him what great things God done for him. I remember a lady in the Word of God. She couldn't be really used of God. Now, she'd been married 5 times and she was living with a fella. I'm going to tell you something that we do. We think God can only save elite.
There's this business now that God only saves the elect and all that. I tell you, God, it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's who the Lord's going to save. It's whosoever will call. But anyway, here this lady was. She surely wasn't the elect. She'd been married 5 times. I could imagine you'd see her at the beauty shop. Jens would tell stories. I'm telling you, she'd swap stories. You'd say, "Oh, brother. Oh man, this woman's got issues." And she did. And one day she went out to the well. And she went there and there was somebody there that had never been there. And it was the Son of God. And He spoke to her. He didn't curl His nose up. He didn't turn the other head. But He witnessed to her there. And He told her all things that she ever did. Now listen to this. Then she went back into town. And the Bible says she told whole thing. Come see a man that told me all things ever did. Now I'm going to tell you something. If somebody come up here tonight and say, I can tell you all things this man did, man, it'd make me kind of nervous, Brother Ragley. I'd kind of say, well, let's pray and let's ease toward the house. Amen. I believe it's the Lord's will. I'd be awful nervous about that. But here this lady is. She's excited about that. She went and told the whole town. And I'm going to tell you something. This whole town, the Bible said, they all come out to see. God used somebody that had trouble in their life. And He turned that around and got good out of it. Hey, you may have had a bad past. And I'm going to tell you something about earthly friends. The Bible says that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, and He said, I'm not called you servants. But I've called you my friends. And no greater love hath this than a man would lay his life down for his friends. Your earthly friends, they have trouble forgiving you of your sins. Man, they struggle with that. And they love to say this. They love to say this, young man. I forgive you, but I don't forget. I'm going to tell you what the Lord does. He forgives you. He forgets it. And He's never going to bring it up again. And then what He does, He put a no fishing sign up. Amen. I'm glad that when God saved me, hey, He cleansed me of all my sin. Amen. And He cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. And if people want to bring them up, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're acting like their father, the accuser of the brethren. That's what the accuser of the brethren. He likes to bring up your past. But hey, God will do a work no matter what you've been through. Now, there's qualifications to preaching. Now, don't get me. The other week in Sunday school, I actually did teach a Sunday school lesson. The man asked the question, you be married, I forgot how many times. And I answered the question, and I took about 15 minutes over. But he did understand that there is qualifications to preaching, amen. You've got to be biblically qualified. Somebody said, oh, you're one of those. No, I'm one of the Bible type. Whatever this book says is just what we'll do, amen. And if it says it's right, it'll be okay. If it says it's wrong, amen. But I'll do a work in your life that you'll not believe. Woman at the well. Then I'm going to tell you something else that God's going to do. You that's been, how many has been born again here tonight? Say amen. Amen. He's going to do another little work in your life that you'll not believe. People say, I've heard, even as a father slept, that He's coming back again. I've heard, but all things continue as they were. I want to tell you something. One glorious daybreak. One glorious daybreak, Jesus is coming back. Now, I know the media don't believe that. They roast Christianity off. I know most churches don't believe that because we don't. I tell you, most time you go into church, you go in, you sit down. I'm telling you what, you look around, people are depressed. They're clipping their fingernails. That burns me. Here I am, I've prayed all week. I've fasted. I've asked God to let heaven come down and we got Rebecca. I'm telling you, that bothers me bad. It makes me mad. And they're looking down. They're looking at the watch. They ain't got nowhere to go. They ain't got no friend. Nobody wants them to come to their house anyhow. But we're worried about everything. We're seeking everything. And I'm telling you what, you've got a man of God that studied and prayed and begged God for the fire of God to fall in your life. And you sit there and do nothing. Amen. Shame on you. No wonder God don't do nothing in your life. God ain't going to use no lazy, backslidden Christian. And He ain't used the first and you ain't going to be the first. God's going to use those that seek Him. Now listen to this. Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. So, who's got to make the first step in this? It's us. Let's get off the seat and do nothing. Let's tell our pastor, preacher, I want to help you. Preacher, I'm here. Brother Rackley's here to help you. He's your pastor. He loves you. He's ready to feed you and see you grow in the Lord and see you shout and have them spells. I'm going to tell you, but there's going to be times when you ain't going to feel them spells. You're going to go through them dry times. I'm going to tell you what that inner man does. A lot of folks, I'm going to go ahead and give this to you while it's free, amen. But a lot of folks believe you can lose it. They believe you can be saved. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. When you got saved, God didn't save your flesh. He saved your soul. See this stuff on me? I'll tell you what. When I die, you come around me about 4 days after that. I'll tell you, whoo! This flesh is going back to the dust. But see, that which is in the inside, he can't sin. He got saved. That which is born of God cannot sin. And my soul was born of God. It cannot sin. But I tell you, this flesh really struggles with it. But He can do a work in your life if you let Him. But God saved me, and He saved me eternally. And I know that I know that I know, like this lady spoke back there. You can't convince me otherwise. I know I'm saved. Somebody said, how do you know? Because this book said so. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is coming back. And the next time he's coming in the clouds, plural. And he's coming to get his people. And those that are saved are going to go. We're going to leave here. Like Superman, Brother Rackley. And then we're going to be on vacation about 7 years. And then we're going to come back like the Lone Ranger. On a white horse. Hey man. And he's going to set everything in order and rule and reign from David's throne. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Hey man, I know we got some millennial free will here. We'll take care of you. But I'm telling you what the book says. This Bible is the Word of God. And God's going to do a work in your life. If you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. He's wanting to do something with your life. God didn't save you to set you on a pew. Never to lead anybody to Christ. Never to be any kind of benefit to your church. God's got a use for you. God can do something with your life. He can do a work which people won't believe. I'll tell you, He can do it. God done a work in my life. I was born in Mooresburg, Tennessee, a little family. My parents split up when I was just a young boy. I remember going back to the woods and telling my grandma, I said, Granny, one day I'll go back in the mountain and you'll never see me again. I dealt with depression when I was just a kid. I know what it is to go weekend here and weekend there and nobody really wants you. A lot of young people experience that. That's why you stay with your spouse. Hey, you get married and you stay with them, man. Somebody said, well, I ain't happy no more. Well, shut your mouth and get to work, amen, and produce some happiness, amen. That's what's wrong with us now. I tell you what, my grandma, I'm meddling now, Brother Rackley. Is everything all right? They vote you out. I'd love to have you as evangelist. Amen. And I have three evangelists in the church. Yeah, Pastor Church, we got three evangelists. But anyway, my granny, my papa, I never seen him buy her a dozen roses. I never seen him doing that. But I'm going to tell you what she did. He'd sit there at that table. She'd watch him eat. When that glass got a little low, he didn't say, honey, you pour me some tea. It was coming that way. I'm telling you what, ladies, you take care of your husband. Right. Husband, you take care of her. You love her as Christ loved the church. Right. He laid His life down for the church. Right. You stick by them. God will do a work in your marriage. You say, you don't know what I'm married to. Hey, you made the vow. The Bible says it's better never to make a vow than to make it and break it. You stay by them. You pray with them. You love them. You don't let your buddies interfere with your time with your wife. You know who my best friend is? It's Kim Help. That's my best friend. I love her all my heart. And I tell you, I'm not letting no little floozy come in my life, wreck my life. Hey, I see it over and over and over
The Bible says a whorish woman will bring a man to a piece of bread. I watched a fella at the workplace. He had it all. He had a baby. He had a wife. He had a nice home, a good job, and things were going well in his life. But he got a little friendly with the girls. And when he did, one of them balked. And when he did, and it all ended up, now he don't have no job. He has no insurance. He wrecked and he messed his life up. He don't get to see his kids anymore. And the Bible says a whorish woman will bring a man to a piece of bread, and it will do it. Man, you love your wife. You respect her. You honor her. You take care of her. Young people, you get married, you marry somebody that loves Jesus. Don't give me this business, well, look at their flesh, and they're so pretty. Hey, flesh fades, amen. I'm chasing, and one day I had a beautiful head of hair, but I'll tell you what, I really think what's happened is the barber, he hits me hard right now. I love the old man, that's the only reason I go to him, but I'll tell you what, this flesh fades, goes away. You better marry somebody that loves that book. And they love Jesus. Don't marry somebody that don't want to go to church on Sunday night. Don't get mad. Oh, it's just Wednesday night. I get so tired of hearing that. Well, on Wednesday night, you know, you just teach. I said, yeah, just Jesus just teaching there on the side of the mountain there. You know, disciples probably shouldn't have went, you know. Got to mow the yard, you know. They got on Saturday when you're off, you won't get out of bed and mow nothing. But on Wednesday night, you've got a certain urge to mow. That's a shame. Amen. You shouldn't turn your lawnmower on Sunday morning or Sunday or Sunday night. I'd be careful about how late I went on Saturday night, to be honest with you. And then I'd be careful on Wednesday night. I'd be careful. I get that thing. Because I'm telling you, we need to prepare for worship. If you want God to do a work in your life that you'll not believe, you better get in that book. You better be at this church. When this preacher preaches, you better say amen. And seek him on. And ask God to give him the word of God to help us. If you want God to do a work in your life. I'm done, Brother Lackley. Go ahead.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.